The Bible is a wonderful book, and it is highly esteemed by many people. Dwight D. Eisenhower, the President of the United States, is quoted as saying, "The Bible is endorsed by the ages. Our civilization is built upon its words. In no other book is there such a collection of inspired wisdom, reality, and hope." Charles Dickens, the famous writer, said the New Testament is the very best book that ever was or ever will be known in the world. And I want you to understand, I'm not ashamed to confess my own faith in the Bible as the Word of God, written by men who were inspired by the very Spirit of God, 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. But what evidences are there to believe that the Bible is inspired by God? There are many, but let's just review a few, beginning with the uniformity of the Bible. These are things that you already know or maybe have forgotten. But the Bible is a collection of 66 books. It was written over a period of about 1,600 years, covering a span of about 40 generations. It was written by about 40 different authors that come from every walk of life. For example, part of the Old Testament was written by Moses. He was a political leader trained in the universities of Egypt. He had one of the best educations at the time. Parts of the New Testament was written by Peter, a blue-collar man, a fisherman. The Old Testament, we have a book by a man by the name of Amos. He was a herdsman. Joshua was a military general. Nehemiah in the Old Testament was a cupbearer to a king. Daniel was a prime minister to a foreign king. Luke was a doctor, a physician. Solomon was a king. Matthew in the New Testament was a tax collector. The Apostle Paul was a tent maker and a rabbi. And then the Bible was written from several different places. Moses wrote his while in the wilderness. Jeremiah wrote his book while in a dungeon. Daniel possibly on a hillside or in a palace. Paul wrote some of his while inside prison walls. Luke wrote his books while traveling with Paul and others. John wrote his book of Revelation while on the Isle of Patmos in exile under Roman captivity. Others, in the rigors of military campaigns and whatnot, like David at times. These books, the Bible, were written at different times and in different settings, if you will. As I mentioned a moment ago, some of the Psalms were written by David, and he wrote in times of war. Solomon wrote his in times of peace. Some of the writings come from the heights of joy, while others from the depths of sorrow and despair. The Bible was written from three different continents and in three different languages. Those continents are Asia, Africa, and Europe. The languages are Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. It was later translated to Latin. And the subject matter of the Bible includes hundreds of topics that are controversial. You take in our society today, there are people that would argue about the origin of man and the universe. There are some that would argue about the nature of God, and some that would argue about the nature of sin and man's redemption. And yet when you read the pages of God's Word, there is harmony and continuity. Geisler and Nix in their commentary says about the Bible, "The paradise lost of Genesis becomes the paradise regained of Revelation. Whereas the gate to the tree of life is closed in Genesis, it is open forevermore in Revelation." Now, when you compare the continuity, the flow of the Bible with any other such writings that man has produced, you have to imagine what you would have if you just took 10 authors, 10 different authors from one walk of life, all in the same generation, in the same place, at the same time, the same mood or environment from one continent and one language, and how much controversy they would have on the subject. You'd have a conglomeration of ideas instead of harmony. So the reason for the unity of the Bible, it's inspired by God. The writers were all inspired by the same God, 2 Peter 1, verses 20 and 21. And that provides evidence that the Bible is the Word of God. But there's another evidence for the inspiration of the Bible, and that's the scientific foreknowledge that we read about in the Bible. The nature of this argument is that in the Bible there are scientific truths that were known by man with all his wisdom and resources, and they are stated as facts hundreds of years before their discovery by man. And basically what that means is the world has always worked itself the way that it's working now, and only through what we consider modern science are we finding what the Bible knew all along. You see, the writers of the Bible could have known these facts only through inspiration of God. Let's consider a few examples. In Isaiah 40, in verse 22, Isaiah writes about the roundness of the earth. In Job, which is considered to be one of the oldest books, if not the oldest book, we find recorded in chapter 26 and verse 7 about the suspension of the earth in space. And the psalmist writes in Psalm 8 and verse 8 about the currents that are down inside the sea. And then again, we go back to Job chapter 38 and verse 16, and he writes about the springs that are inside the seas, down deep. And Paul would write in Acts 17 and verse 26 that all nations are of one blood. And these are just a few examples of the many examples of scientific facts written in the Bible and confirmed only recently with the help of what we would call modern science. But further evidence of inspiration is the fulfilled prophecies that we see in the Bible. There's the nature of this argument that prophecies in the Old Testament foretold events in detail that were beyond the scope of human speculation. Now, how did the writers do that? How did they write about things that would happen hundreds of years after they wrote it and had died? Well, it's attributed to God. And God declared that such evidence was proof of His existence and His superiority over man and all of their heathen gods. Passages like Isaiah 41, verses 21 through 24, Isaiah 42, verses 8 and 9, Isaiah 46, verses 8 through 11. So let's consider a few examples of this. There's the fall of Babylon, which was written 200 years before it actually happened. You can read that in Isaiah 13, beginning in verse 17. Then there's the example of the fall of Egypt, that it would be destroyed more by civil war than outside forces. Well, you can read about that in Isaiah 19, verses 1 through 4. Then there's the example of the fall of Nineveh, with utter desolation, the Bible would write. Zephaniah 2, verses 13 through 15. There's the fall of Tyre, with its becoming a place for the spreading of their fishing nets. Ezekiel 26, verses 1 through 5. You can find these examples and other examples in a book titled Introduction to Christian Evidences by Farrell Jenkins. And there are many other examples of fulfilled prophecies, especially those relating to the coming of the Messiah, the coming of Christ. And hopefully we can cover that next Sunday, Lord willing. But here's one more reason to believe in the Bible. You think about the Bible and the impact that it has upon civilization. The Bible, of all the books ever written, has had probably the greatest impact on art, music and literature, on education, judicial systems, and even science. And probably this may be part of the downfall of our society today, is they used to teach the Bible as part of the English curriculum in schools. I remember when I was going to school that we would have the Pledge of Allegiance set over the PA system. Someone would occasionally read the scriptures and have a prayer at the beginning of every day. Because of our pet peeves, if you will, our society has decided to remove God and His Word from our school systems. But let's look at some quotes. Franklin Delano Roosevelt He said we cannot read the history of our rise and development as a nation without reckoning with the place the Bible has occupied in shaping the advances of the Republic. Another president, Harry S. Truman, he says the fundamental basis of this nation's laws was given to Moses on the Mount, referring to Mount Sinai in Exodus 20. The fundamental basis of our Bill of Rights, he says, comes from the teachings we get from Exodus and St. Matthew, from Isaiah and St. Paul. Benjamin Harris is quoted as saying, if you take out of your statutes, your constitution, your family life, all that is taken from the sacred book, what would there be left to bind society together? There you go. We've taken the sacred book out of our society. We've taken it out of our homes, out of our families, and what is left to bind those things together? But the impact of the Bible is great upon civilization, but it's great also upon our individual lives. Think about it. The book alone has transformed the lives of millions of people. It has motivated these people to become missionaries, preachers, teachers, and even martyrs. They've laid down their life because of their belief of what this book means and what it stands for. It's made them better spouses, better parents, better friends, better neighbors, better workers. And countless people would agree with the words of David in Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11. Here's some quotes about the impact that the Bible has had upon our lives as individuals. John Quincy Adams said, so great is my veneration for the Bible that the earlier my children begin to read it, the more confident will be my hope that they will prove useful citizens of their country and respectable members of society. I have for many years made it a practice to read through the Bible once every year. Then the Southern general, Robert E. Lee, says, in all my perplexities and distresses, the Bible has never failed to give me light and strength. Daniel Webster says, if there is anything in my thoughts or style to commend, the credit is due to my parents for instilling in me an early love of the Scriptures. If we abide by the principles taught in the Bible, our country will go on prospering and to prosper. But if we and our posterity neglect its instructions and authority, no man can tell how sudden a catastrophe may overwhelm us and bury all our glory in profound obscurity. The evidence for the Bible as the Word of God is both objective and subjective. The objective evidence includes its unity, foreknowledge, and fulfilled prophecies. The subjective evidence is seen in its impact in our lives and the world in which we live. Do you really believe in and appreciate the Bible as the Word of God? Abraham Lincoln says, I believe the Bible is the best gift God has ever given to man. All the good from the Savior of the world is communicated to us through this book. Ronald Reagan is quoted as saying, within the covers of this one single book, the Bible, are all the answers to all the problems we face today. If only we would read it and believe it. Our estimation of the Bible proves to be no less. It's demonstrated by our obedience to it. I appreciate you being with me today. And like I said, Lord willing, we'll talk about why I believe in Jesus next Sunday morning. But it may be that you would like to comment on this lesson. You can go to the church's website, that's church@eastside.com, and listen to this lesson again, or look me up on Facebook, or you can visit with us at the Eastside Church of Christ. We'll meet this morning at 9 a.m. for Bible study, 10 a.m. for worship, and again this evening at 5 p.m. Thank you for being with me.